And before we get started, I'd like to do something a little bit different, not just for the sake of being different, but to maybe put a thought in your mind, an idea about what a revival meeting is supposed to be about and about what we're calling a jubilee, which means we're letting everything else rest and we're thanking God for everything He's provided for the last 6 years. In the jubilee year, God lets us live off of all the things He's provided for us. So in a jubilee year, what we do is we look back and we count our many blessings.
Amen.
And we name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has.
Amen.
Too often we don't take the time when we're going through something in the present to look at the past and go, oh yeah, but.
Amen.
I saw God do this and this and this and this. But it's more than that, I think, this year. Last year we had kind of the idea, the thought was about being a servant. That was the theme of the entire meeting. And you heard some messages preached by some of the greatest preachers just because they were here, but because the Lord really used that to deal with all of us about the necessity of learning how to be a servant. I've learned this, though. Oftentimes, being a servant gives you what we used to call auditory exclusion. One of the things that we know for an absolute fact, any of you that have ever been in any kind of major fight or combat or anything along that situation, if you're in a very stressful situation, one of the things that transpires in your mind's eye is you're so stressed out that your body begins to shut down unnecessary parts at the time. And so the first thing that goes is your ability to hear. One of the things that happens to us is we get sometimes tied up in a bad situation and we lose the ability to hear. They teach us, they train us. You got to be very careful. Sometimes you hear policemen that are screaming at people and you wonder, why are they screaming? Because the person is really stressed out and they can't hear anything. Oftentimes, even in the midst of gunfire going off, they don't even remember hearing the gunfire going off because you have auditory exclusion. Your body, your mind can only process so much. Here's one of the things that seems to happen to us as Christians, especially the longer we've been Christians, and this is for students, this is for preachers, pastors, missionaries, anybody that is a Christian, any of us has the tendency after a while, when we go through stressful things, but also we go through routine duty, we get that auditory exclusion. As a matter of fact, the Bible even tells us that in the last days there's a famine of land, not as many people have said as the preaching of the Word of God, but there's a famine of land for hearers of the Word of God. Now here's the scary part. We wouldn't expect whatever the stuff that went on last night, and I'm not here to discuss any of that, we wouldn't really expect them to be hearing what God has to say. They're too interested in having it their way. Right? Are you with me so far? But here's the thing that happens. The scary thing is that hearers of the Word of God, the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. But he that is spiritual, later on in the passage, discerneth or judgeth all things. Is that right? So we know that the Bible is given to us and He gives us the ears to be able to hear. So step number one, am I still listening? Am I still able to hear when God speaks? I made a note of some people in the Bible who happened to be right close by, but they didn't hear because they thought the message was for somebody else. Uzziah was there and he was real close to the ark. Remember, he was real close dealing with the ark and he was there taking care of the ark and all that. And when the ark shook, whether you want to blame Ahio for not leading the oxen the right way, I've heard it preached about a bazillion different ways. I've preached it a million different ways. But here's the bottom line. Uzziah had gotten to the point that not only could he no longer hear it, he no longer paid any attention to what God had said about when it comes to the ark, don't put your cotton picking paws on it. That's the southern translation. And so when it shook, he's going to help God out, reaches out there and touch it, and God, no respecter of persons, kills him right off the bat. You see, Uzziah had gotten to the point because he was so familiar with God and the things of God and taking care of the tabernacle and the ark and doing all those things that it had become mundane, it had become routine, it had become one of those things that everybody does, and it had become what he did instead of who he was, and the next thing you know, he got too familiar. Because even though he was right beside the ark, he stopped listening to what God had to say. Another you in the Bible, in the king you Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says, and high lifted up in Isaiah chapter number 6. Here's the odd thing about that. He was very, very healthy and very, very prosperous and did very, very well until he went into the temple. And guess what? The Lord sent some preachers in there. And the preachers tried to say, now king, with all due respect, you stick to being a king and we'll take care of the stuff in the temple. You with me? You take care of the stuff in the temple and everything's going to be okay. And that kind of, you know what he said? I'm not listening to what you have to say. Yeah, but we're not speaking for ourselves. We're speaking for the Lord. Are you with me, church member? Because what happened is I desired an office that wasn't for me to have. I'm supposed to be doing these other things. And so I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do. I don't really care what God said. Well, listen, God's blessing you to be a king. That's a great thing. And while you're doing it, you're one of the most prosperous kings that Israel has ever had. I mean, you cannot deny God's hand is on Uzziah before he stopped listening to God. Balaam was a great preacher. He was a great prophet. As a matter of fact, he was the one that was chosen that was supposed to go out there to go to the nation of Israel. And when they tried to work some magic and some hoodoo and tried to do some things, Balaam was still listening. He said, listen, I can't curse God, but I mean curse the people of Israel, but I can tell you how you can make it happen. And so he did the things he was supposed to do. And then the next thing you know, he is no longer listening to God, and God has to use a donkey. And the donkey can hear God when Balaam can't hear God. Remember I said at the beginning of the message, there's a famine in the land of hearers of the Word of God. If you would agree with me, maybe the hearers are Bible believers today. Maybe one of the things that we've done is we've developed that attitude or that idea like Gehazi the servant did, who is literally right next to one of the greatest prophets in the entire Bible. Right? But because he saw himself as equal with that old guy, when he was told what to do, he didn't follow the instructions. He did it how he wanted to do it instead of how God said it should be. Because see, God didn't talk directly to him. God used somebody between him and God and said, listen, Gehazi, this woman, I'm going to give you a chance to get in on the blessing now here. First of all, you completely missed what's going on here. But here's what I want you to do. Go over there and raise that boy from the dead. Well, when the boy didn't come up the way he thought he should come up, guess what happened? He goes back, throws the staff over there at the preacher and says, hey, I don't know what the problem was. It's a misfire. It must be your problem. It ain't my problem. No, the problem was is you're standing right next to it, but you couldn't hear God anymore.
Amen.
The last one I'll use as an illustration simply as a foyer, an entrance way into where we're going tonight, is that after that prodigal, it says very clearly in Luke chapter number 15, that he was in that pig pen until one day seated upon that stump and that hot stench of that hog pen that he was in began once again to grab his nose. And he looked at his stained feet and he listened to his stomach growl and his belly button touching his backbone. And he's sitting there disheveled and filthy and ashamed of himself and guilty as he should be. But in that case, his guilt drove him to do something that was right. Because guilt used the right way will help you to do what you wouldn't otherwise do if you're willing to do what God would have you to do. Well, he sat down on the stump. You know the whole story. Maybe it's a log. Who knows? As he's sitting there, the Bible said he came to himself. And he said to himself, I will arise and go to my father's house. Isn't it interesting that his words and the father's words match identically? Do you think maybe all of a sudden the prodigal realized the reason I'm a prodigal is because I quit listening to the father when I was in the father's house? Is it possible maybe, just for the sake of our discussion tonight, is it possible maybe you're out of fellowship with God tonight, not because God's a bad God, but because you've chosen one of those ways to do things. You don't care what God says. You don't care whatever. You're going to have it your way. It makes no difference if it hair lips the devil and God and everybody else. I don't care. This is how I'm going to do it. And at that moment, if God were to say to you, hey, why don't you come back to the Father's house? I'm not out of fellowship. I'm having a great time. I'm very successful. I'm doing really well. The Lord's like, you might want to come home. You don't have to wait until you get into the hog pen to say, okay, you know what? I think I'm ready to go back to the Father's house. You know what happened to the prodigal? You can make a lot of stories about the prodigal, and all of us have. One of the things about that prodigal is that he got to the point where he would no longer listen to the Father. Now here's where we're fixing to get a little bit closer to the cotton. Standing right outside the door when the prodigal came home was the Bible believer in the passage. It was the pastor in the passage. It was the preacher in the passage. It was the missionary in the passage. It was the Bible student in the passage. It was the faithful Christian in the passage. And what was he doing? Oh, he was just standing right outside the door. What was he going to do? I ain't coming in there. Why? Because the Father is not saying what I want to hear. The Father is telling me and asking me to be happy over somebody I despise. That's my brother, and he's getting all the attention, and things have been just fine until he packed up and then came home, and now they're making a big to-do over him. And what about me? Do you see why I labeled him preacher, pastor, Bible? Because you know what happens? We as pastors, we as preachers, are as guilty as the congregations we accuse week in and week out of no longer listening to God because we think we already know what He has to say. Oh, how many messages have we stood up and preached? Yeah, them old wicked heathens, them old reprobates, they know exactly what service to miss because you know what? They needed that message. And the Lord's like, hello.
Amen.
I've been preaching to you for weeks and you need this message.
Amen.
And yet we say, man, boy, Lord, the preacher really lowered the boom today. I don't know where Brother so-and-so was at. I don't know where that old lady was at. I don't know where my pastor was at. I wish my preacher was hearing this right now. He sure needs it. I'm here to accuse my own crowd. I'm not here to talk about Republicans, Democrats, or Tea Parties, or Independents, or anybody else. I honestly don't care. If you're all jacked up about that and want to get you an article in the USA Today and you want to use your church to say this is where we get our power and hold up your ballot and pray over the ballot and all that kind of foolishness, you want to use God's pulpit. Well, last time I checked, when the Lord said, when He went in there and said, you've made my Father's house of prayer into a den of thieves, and He turned over the table and drove them out when they tried to get involved in that kind of foolishness in the church. This is God's house.
Amen.
Well, we're going to take over this and we're going to take over that. I'm going to heaven. Y'all can have every bit of it.
Amen.
But we stopped listening to God. And we started listening to our own prejudices and our own preferences. We started listening to our own politics. And we are trying, as pastors and preachers and Christians and the leaders in the faith, we're trying to drive His ship. As if we know, by looking at the sextant, exactly where everything's supposed to go. Oh, there's the star. I know what it is. It's the star that's over me. And time and time and time again, I hear, boy, preacher, that was good preaching. That was really good. And I'm thinking, yeah, it was right at you. Did you get any of it? I know y'all would never think that. And sometimes the Lord said, yeah. And it was right at you. And did you get any of it? If we're going to see something happen, there's going to have to be a willingness on our part to get back, first of all, and this is my first point, this is a real simple message, and so as my messages go, it'll probably be very short, no more than a couple hours. I didn't mean to run you off, sis. This meeting will not benefit us at all. Unless we, like the prodigal, sit down and say, am I still hearing from God like I used to? And if I'm not, does it matter that I don't hear from God like I used to? And when I do hear from God, does He say the things that I like to hear and want to hear, or I need to hear? Is God telling me at times that I need to have a spanking? Or I need to have correction? Or sometimes I might need comfort? Or is it possible that when I need comfort, He's like, well, you missed the correction. So you think you only come to me when you need comfort? Sure would have been nice if you'd have been listening to the correction. We could have got that out of the way. And now you need comfort. I can give you the comfort. But we still got this hanging over here. We're going to take care of your boo-boo. But we still got to get this fixed. Because the boo-boo doesn't erase. You still disobeyed me. And just because you're in a little trouble doesn't mean we're not going to try to correct. Step number one is you have to self-evaluate. No preacher anywhere can tell whether or not you're listening. And I have to yield to you on your side. I tell you, sometimes the reason people don't listen to us is we are as boring can be. We are as dry as cracker juice, and we are unprepared to address a congregation full of meat eaters that want to sit down and get something from the Bible. And so what we do is we just sort of sound like a broken record all the time, telling them the same thing, try to get them to shout on the same spots, and they wound up being unfed. But the truth of the matter is, the reason we can't get a message is we quit listening to God. And you know what happens when we quit listening to God? Genesis 3 is the literal telltale story law first mentioned in the Bible. When you start listening to God, everybody's preached out of that passage. You start listening to other voices. Wow, then the next thing you know, here comes the TV and here comes the YouTube and here comes the internet and all the things we preach against, but we don't realize the reason we're drawn to those things is we stop listening to the right things. At some point in your life, you decided, I'm not going to listen to God anymore. Therefore, there's plenty of time for me to listen to all these other entities that are out there. And we have become professionals in politics. We've become professionals as physicians, as a psychiatrist. We are becoming experts in the world's business and the world's way in order to be relevant. Oh, but did I forget to tell you? We stopped listening to God and replaced Him with another voice. Could it be that the passage about Laodicea in Revelation 3, that we are in that last church age, and how dare us actually think we might be that church? Because it has become more about the rights of the people than it has. Look, this is just self-evaluation. I'm not getting up to it. I don't know if you're listening to Him or not. I know that at times of stress or anger or frustration, or if you're talking about other people, you have auditory exclusion. You can't talk and listen at the same time. Not effectively. So the question is that you pause and say, okay, number one, have I quit listening? Am I the one that there's a famine in the land? I just ain't getting fed. I tell you what, I'm going to start my own thing. We've had that happen a couple of years ago. A guy came to meet and talk and said he was going to start. I said, where do you go to church? He told me. I said, well, why are you leaving there? He said, well, I just feel like I need to leave. I said, okay, well, okay, why is that? And he couldn't give me a good reason. And as the meeting progressed, he kind of got a little bit more ruffled up and feathered up. And I just said, look, brother, I finally got an answer, I believe, from the Lord for your prayer, for your quandary. He said, what is that? I said, get your message together on Saturday night. Get your suit out and get ready Sunday morning. And go stand in front of the full-length mirror and preach the world's greatest preacher to the world's greatest congregation. And when you're finished with the message, give an invitation. And pray that the guy you're preaching to will come to the altar and see whether or not it's God that's telling him to do that or if it's the guy in the mirror. The problem is that oftentimes God makes it harder on us. Look in the book of Hebrews. Let me get in the Bible just a little bit here, unless you're ready to give up and go home at this. And I heard Brother Sam preach recently on Bartimaeus when we were headed up to Atlanta. One of the interesting things about Bartimaeus is people think that he's the hero of the story, but the fact of the matter is he's the one that didn't have eyes but was able to see, as he clearly marked out or clearly pointed out. The people that were blind were the ones that could actually see, that were standing right next to Jesus, but they never heard the message. The one listening for the message. Did you hear me? The one listening for the message is the one that got the help. I wonder in my own life, as I was preparing for this, how often I've sat down and thought, this is good for them. And the Lord say, okay, is it good for you? Why don't you take a big old bite? I'm talking self-evaluation. I'm talking, in order for me to be relevant, I don't want to stick my nose in the newspaper. I want to realize all of a sudden the Bible is not as fresh as it used to be. I ought to all of a sudden realize it's not my source for my messages anymore. I all of a sudden realize I'm more interested in what people think instead of what God says. And the next thing you know, I've got the same auditory exclusion that I'm accusing you of having. Why? I stopped listening to Him. And the second that I did, the devil sat up and said, well, yeah, yeah, God said. How many times had that elder brother said, I'd never be like the prodigal. But he was the prodigal, even though he was only a few feet outside the father's house. One went to the far country. One was a prodigal and still in the house. Do you know why the older brother stayed outside? He stopped listening to the father. More interested in public opinion than he was in what God said. Verse number 1, chapter 12. The Bible says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here's part of my text. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin with this so easily beset us and run with patience the race that's before us. But wait. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, wait a minute. Lay aside every what? Come to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to do my best to help this make some sense. Sometimes the things that weigh us down, we become so accustomed to the weight that we don't even realize that we're not running at the pace the Lord wants us to run. Sometimes too fast, sometimes too slow, sometimes not at all. But when the weight begins to wear you out, you know what it begins to do? It begins to pull your head down. If you have on a backpack, you don't start walking this way when you get tired. If you've been in the military, you've ever had any weight on your back, when you start getting tired, you tend to start doing this. Oh, well, they're in the bowed down position. Well, I would like to say as an illustration for you tonight, this is not a bowed down position. This is, I don't really care what the Lord has to say. I can't even look up there to see Him anymore. I'm more interested in what I'm doing, where I'm going, and how I'm being than I am interested at all. This weight has got me to the point that it is so burdening me, it is so weighing me down, I don't really care. I'm not listening for what God has to say. I'm just so heavily weighed down, I got auditory exclusion. I believe that Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, where you are, in verse number 7, he says something like this, casting all your cares, is that right, Brother Dennis?
Amen.
Upon Him, for He careth for you. But the operative word there is you have to do the casting. He doesn't remove it from you. So if you'll stay with the way my mind works just a little bit tonight for the second, consider this. What he's saying there is, I have to do my own evaluation to find out if I have a care that is on me, if I have something that is weighing me down, something that is causing me to be so heavily cumbered about. Oh, cumbered about with what? Duty. Responsibility. Busy. Business. Stuff. But it's got to get done. I got to get it done. It's so important. I just have to have it. Listen, when Martha was there and Mary was there, when Jesus came in, you've got to get this if you get nothing else I say. Martha and Mary are there, and Martha is cumbered about with much serving.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with serving until it's time to listen. Nothing wrong with duty until it's time to listen. Nothing wrong with being busy until it is time to listen. And so often we say, when I get this done, and this done, and this done, and this done, I'm going to get back. I didn't intend to leave. I didn't intend to go. I promise, but I got so busy. And then the next thing happens is I bought a couple of things that I probably should have waited on, but now I got to make the payments, so I got to work more. Now, there's nothing wrong with being industrious. As a matter of fact, if you do that, people would say to you, oh man, you are really industrious. Boy, you're a hard worker. You're not a lazy person at all. But then Sunday comes and it's time to listen. It's like, yeah, I know. But as soon as I get this paid off, I'll get back to there. And we get a little bit more hard of hearing. And then the Lord comes and said, hey, it's revival time. Yeah, I know. But that new car you bought, there's an insurance payment coming due. And, you know, you don't want to be a bad testimony. And, you know, and you don't stop and think for a moment that maybe you shouldn't have bought the car. That don't enter your mind. Right? You're justified. It was God gave me this car. I mean, God wanted me to have this Bentley. He did. I prayed. I went to the showroom floor. They gave me more money than I could possibly imagine on my credit card. I was able to buy it, all $80,000 worth of the thing, and or $800,000, whatever them sinkers were worth. And boy, I sure do look good riding around in it until that first payment comes due. And then the first thing that goes is the thing we need the most. We no longer care to hear from Him because He's not saying, buy the Bentley. He's saying, come to church, and you're thinking, they're going to repossess the Bentley. And He's going, but coming into church is more important than paying for the Bentley. Amen. Try a bicycle if it costs you being in church. I know what I'm saying is old school, and I already feel the pushback. I know what I'm saying is kind of like, He's just saying you're supposed to be in church every time the doors is open.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a Baptist preacher. What were you thinking I was supposed to say? Vote for somebody? To get more money in your pocket or something? Oh, I forgot. That is the new way that we do church nowadays. I'll make you financially prosperous. How to have a happy marriage. How to raise your brats. In four easy steps. And what started off as working to try to get more, all of a sudden gave us auditory exclusion. Here's the illustration. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with much serving. Mary hath chosen the better part. What's she doing? Sitting and listening. No, that can't be that simple. Yes. There is nothing more important than God speaking to you personally.
Amen.
Speaking to the country, who cares? Speaking to the world, who cares? Speaking to the nation, who cares? Talk to me.
Amen.
I want to hear from you.
Amen.
The Lord said, you got auditory exclusion and there ain't no more talking donkeys. So until you clean out your eardrums and get rid of that weight that doth so easily, remember, weight and sin. We usually preach the passages of sin, smoking, drinking, cussing, breeches, hair, wire rim glasses, rock and roll, TV or not TV, that is the question. There is so much more to the Christian life than that.
Amen.
Step number one, are you listening? Step number two, have you allowed the duties of this life, the things in this world that you never thought would mushroom like a nuclear cloud, and all of a sudden that job you wanted so bad that the Lord said, yeah, you know, I don't really know that this is good. And the next thing you know, you're in the wrong place with the wrong people, by the wrong fire, saying the wrong stuff, doing the wrong things, and before long you're going to see what happens to Peter. And you all know the story. But do you know where it started? The prodigal started by no longer listening to the Father.
Amen.
You cannot listen the same way the parable is told of the boy that is told, go out and do so and so, and he says, I'll do it, and then he turns around and leaves and said, I'm not going to do it, and then he turns around and comes back, and the other boy that says, I'll do it, and don't. Both of them heard, but one of them did what he was told to do. Have you ever considered sometimes that the debt that you're in creates auditory exclusion? Your mind is on dollar bills right now. What about the debt that you owe someone who needs your forgiveness or needs you to ask for their forgiveness so they can get on with their life? Well, don't want to have revival quite that bad. Really, it wouldn't be worth it to you to walk up to that person and say, you know what, I was wrong and I'm really sorry and I hope you'll forgive me. You're supposed to shake my hand. Thank you. Don't blow my illustration. I'll cue you next time. Okay? You're indebted to the one that forgave you, but you won't forgive others. And for some of you, you know what that debt's done? You better listen to me. He said with a very cheerful, upbeat voice. You better listen. It prevents you from hearing what God has to say. Because all you're waiting is for God to speak to that person you're bitter at tonight. Or all you're doing is sitting there tonight going, yeah, yeah. You know why? Because they hold you in bondage, Romans 12. Because you're allowing them to flood your thoughts constantly. But some of you have the power to go to the person you offended, but you're too proud to go to the person. And what you don't realize is you're holding two people back. My wife and I fight every now and then. A lot less in the last 10 days. I'm just being honest. Changed a little bit. I'm being much more gracious. She's being a lot more gracious.
Amen.
But we argue every now and then. But because I care about her, when it's either way, either she did wrong and won't say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Or I don't go to her and fix it. You know what it does? It pulls two people down. Because both officers are stuck right there. And we're going through the motions, right? But our mind is on, I thought he loved me. Well, if he loved me, what was the big deal about taking the trash out? Or whatever. I'm just using an illustration. It's real quiet. Luke chapter 17 says this. You don't have to turn there. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him by whom they come. Better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Lord, should we forgive him? Yes, you should forgive him. How many times should you forgive him? 70 times? No, 70 times 7. Ooh, Lord, increase our faith. You mean I got to be forgiving? Yeah, see, you're waiting for somebody to forgive you instead of thinking you need to forgive somebody. You have auditory exclusion. You think every message on somebody being forgiven is for that person that needs to come to you and say, hey, will you forgive me? Hey, could you just understand this about forgiveness? Until you learn to give it, don't expect to get it. Until you learn to extend that and say, hey, I was wrong for my part of this and what I did, whether you get right or not, I was wrong. Amen. God said, woo, hallelujah. Hey, listen up, boy. But humanism has so crept into the church and we have made it so about us that when it comes to this sticking point, oh, we will not dare, we will risk having no revival if I've got to go to that person and make it right. I'm telling you, real revival would break out in any church if the people in the church would get right with each other. And every preacher and pastor in here could amen me if they were to tell the truth.
Amen.
Everybody in here knows there's somebody that they should forgive. But you're waiting to be forgiven. They need to forgive me. When they forgive me, I'll forgive them. That's not in the passage. That Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know where it fits doctrinally and dispensationally. I know that my people is the nation of Israel. But you're here with His people for the sake of this message tonight in a practical illustration of an Old Testament truth with a New Testament application. if my people that are called by my name, if you really are a Christian, will... Oh, I can't hear you. Peacock! Yes, sir! Humble yourself! Hello? Hello? I thought you were talking to me. I am. Humble yourself. Boy, I sure wish Brother So-and-so was here. He needs to hear that message on humility. He is a brain elephant if I ever saw one. Lord surely is not telling me something I don't want to hear. The problem cannot be me. Auditory exclusion. If my people are called by my name, humble himself. Oh, after the humility comes what? What? Do you know the verse? Humble themselves. Doesn't it say, seek His face? You know what it is? So after the humility is get my eyes back on what was keeping my eyes off of Him. Here's a good thing about forgiveness. Don't raise your hands. Anybody in here ever really mess up bad? You're like... Just being honest. And the chance to make the thing right has been long gone. And every time you start to try to get close to the Lord, the devil comes up and says, hey, the devil in the form of a human being, oh, what are you doing here? Or the person that's there, they ask you for something in a certain way. It's like, oh, well, there goes my revival. Yeah. Wow. Blessing, Lord. And the Lord said, hey, you're forgiven. Let it go. And the devil said, you got scars all over you. Somebody reminds you of the baby you can't ever get back? I mean, let's just make it real. This is the world we live in. Yeah. Those people can be saved people and make a mess. But you know what happens when God starts talking to them? Sometimes preachers say, oh, God don't talk to people like you. He talks to people like me, clean, holy, pure, perfect, in the inner sanctum, the holy of holies. But He don't talk to you people outside the gate where the dogs are. The people that have done things that have cost them time in their life in penitentiaries and jails and maybe even psychiatric wards and hospitals. Maybe it's been people that you've hurt that are dead now and gone now. And every time God said, okay, let me forgive you and let's forget that, you go, oh, but I can't go to them and ask them to forgive me. The Lord's like, okay, well, that's all right. I took care of it. And you're like, nah, auditory exclusion. You say, why? Well, I'm dealing with these. Sometimes duty. Sometimes even disappointments can create that point where you know what you say to yourself? I'll never be able to do anything for Him. I'm still bearing the burden of the mistakes that I've made in my life. I've had a divorce. I wish I could tell you that people wouldn't be people. And it's not right for people to mistreat you because you've had a divorce. But I'd be jumped if I would let a person tell me, you can't come to Jesus. I'd be like Bartimaeus, like he preached on. Hey! Help me!
Amen.
Shh! He don't want to talk to you. That cloak you're wearing, that's a jail sentence. That's a prison sentence. That's you messing up a family. That's you doing unspeakable things to other people. You've hurt people. You've wounded people. You've damaged people. You've done things to your boss and so on and so forth. Or whatever it might be. You blew up a church. Whatever it might be like that. And you're like, hey! Help me! The Lord said, you need to leave that behind. Because it's between me and you. You can't hear me as long as you got it. We're talking about casting cares. Because the more of these cares you carry, especially in the ministry, you know what's going to happen? You're eventually going to get weighed down by them. Oh, I think that's where I started, if I remember correctly. Didn't we start in Hebrews 12? Laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We haven't talked about one sin yet. Except maybe the sin of unforgiveness. But are you with me so far? Sometimes that debt, sometimes that discouragement, sometimes that distress that we put ourselves in, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? We find ourselves having a whole bunch of weighted jackets on. I used to run with a guy a bazillion years ago. We have professional athletes with us that are here tonight. I'm here to tell you, they would know that I am not a runner by just looking at me. It's like... But here's what they used to do. This guy that I ran with, in order for me to be able to keep up with him, he said, well, if you can't keep up with me, here's what I'll do. I said, you're going to slow down. He goes, no. So the next day we go to run, he's got on a weighted jacket. And he said, I figure if I carry a little more weight, it'll slow me down so you can keep up with me. We're running 6 miles. You better put on a lot more weight. But some of us are wearing weighted jackets tonight. And you know what it's done? It's prevented us from hearing God. The debt, the distress, the discouragement, and yes, sometimes even the death. The person that you wanted to forgive you, you just can't bring yourself to it. It's like, okay, God says, okay, well listen, let's go back to the law first minute since we're all Bible students. Okay? I remember a story in the Bible about a man named Cain and another man named Abel. And Abel offered, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, a more excellent sacrifice, right? Now, it seems unfair that the Lord took Abel's but didn't take Cain's. At the first reading, if you were to read it the humanistic way, you would say, well, hey, the Lord should have been happy for whatever Cain offered. But see, God doesn't work that way. God says, you bring what I want.
Amen.
You don't pick what I want. I pick what you need. Now, Abel didn't need to offer the lamb as bad as Cain needed to offer the lamb. Stay with me for a second. Because for Abel, he clearly understood that's what God wanted, so he brought the lamb. No disobedience at all. Oh, but Cain. Cain is the one that heard from God but didn't listen to God. Cain is the one that heard him talking because all of a sudden he brings out all the fruits and vegetables. You've heard it said before. He lays them there on the altar and he says, okay, Lord, here's the best I have. And the Lord said, it ain't what I want. But it's the best I have. I don't care. It's not what I want. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to offer something that is going to create or cause you to have to go to somebody you don't like, somebody you don't want to be around, somebody you despise, in order for you to do something that pleases me. Getting pretty deep now, isn't it? You mean, if I'm a Bible believer? Well, if you're a Bible believer... If you say you believe the Bible, let's see which one we are. Cain, go to Abel, ask him for a lamb, he'll probably give you one at a discount price. The price is not important.
Amen.
It's that I want a lamb, and I'm fixing what I want to get you to do what's best for you.
Amen.
Go to your brother, and get it fixed. And get a lamb, and I'll fix your countenance. And tonight, you're either Cain, or you're Abel. You know what Cain said? The burden, the request, what you're wanting me to do, I'm not doing it. It's punishment is more than I can bear. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Right? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? Why are you carrying that burden tonight? Why is it when you come to church, your thought is he going to be there or is she going to be there? Instead of, he's going to be there, she's going to be there, so I can finally get this thing off of me. Whew, now I can hear. sometimes our misperception, our misconception of how we see things. We are not even interested in what God has to say about how He sees things. We're like a Cain. Hey, if what I'm doing and you don't like it, fine, I'm leaving. Isn't that what we do? What if it was God that was dealing with you? What if it was God that was saying to you tonight, listen, I don't want you doing it that way, Cain. What is so hard about that, Cain? But that's who I am, and that's what I am, and that's my reputation, and that's everything that, and if I lose that, I lose my identity, and I lose who I am, and what if I lost my ministry? If you lost your ministry, but you could still hear from Him.
Amen.
Which would be more important?
Amen.
Now, I know if you're a pastor, I know what you just thought. Yeah, I know some preachers that need to get out. See, you never thought that that might be Him talking to you. You never even considered it. You never brought that to the altar and said, now, Lord, let me ask you a question. Because if my ministry is the Abel in my life that I've so protected, that I have so held on to, that I have so watched over, if that's what's keeping me from hearing from You now, and I'm so bitter I don't even want to come to church anymore, if that's it, Lord, I want it, I'll go and fix it. But instead it becomes a weight. And a burden that doth so easily beset us. If my people call by my name humble themselves and do what? Turn. Right? I got it a little bit out of pray, read the Bible study. But you forget the turn. Humble. Turn. Represents repentance. If Cain had turned and went to Abel, it had been fixed. Whether you want to believe Cain was of that wicked one or not, God gave him a chance to get in right there. You know what God could do in this meeting for you? If you'll take this meeting personal and quit thinking it is for everybody else. When was the last time you just checked yourself and said, you know what, I check out pretty regular now. Is it possible that the messages that you missed from whatever your pastor is, is the message that God wanted you to have, and there happened to be supernatural opposition, like a guy standing by a tree and saying, yea, hath God said? Is it even possible? Why come to church if not? If God's not going to be talking to you, honestly, why are we coming? I thought that was the reason that we were gathered here for the meeting. Again, I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying that we may not have a lot of sin, but we sure are carrying a lot of weight. You know what we're doing now? It is epidemic in Bible-believing crowds. They're so worried about the economy and the stock market and who's in the mayor and who's in the governor and who's in the sheriff and who's in the Senate and who's going to be the president and who's going to do this and who's going to vote that and who's going to control the House or the Senate or whatever it is, the one that went on yesterday in the outhouse. And it's interesting that we're so overwhelmed with interest over those things, and yet we lack the interest for His things. Do you remember when that was so fresh? You couldn't wait to come to a meeting like this? And do you remember how God would speak during a meeting like this and just literally grab your heart? And that guilt would force you to get up out of that pig pen and go, Lord, I gotta get this fixed. But see, now what's happened is our sins are not what they used to be. When I first started over 30 years ago preaching, it was all about preaching on haircuts and hemlines. I mean, it was all preaching on rock and roll music and blue jeans with holes in them. And having long hair or wearing a short skirt or, God forbid, wearing a bikini. And all those things are not right. Don't go out and say, oh, preachers, that's okay. You know, it's, no, no, smoke them if you got them. Don't work like that. The preaching was always about the outside. And we have been very successful at addressing what everyone else can see.
Yes.
To the expense of no longer caring what they can. Because they didn't lose their hearing. We did. We thought the only way God spoke to us was standards. And if you're not preaching standards, God ain't speaking. I'm for standards. But there's 66 cotton-picking books in that Bible. I mean, no disrespect by cotton picking, sir, but there's 66 books there. And yet, for years, all we found was you need to be clean like me. And if you're dirty, get clean. Could one of you preachers help me just a smidgen? Unless that's what you're still preaching. And so your congregation is a bunch of Pharisees walking around looking down on everybody that ain't like them, and your conversation at the church is all about all the churches that don't do it the way you do it. And it's no longer about helping people, it's about finding people like you like instead of going to the people you don't like. If it would please God to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in like we say He did for us rotten Gentile dogs. But that's changed now. And it's no longer His gospel. It's been turned into our gospel. This is a message for our people. This isn't a message for the Catholics and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists. And it's not even going to help them because they're not the one with the problem. We're the one now that are walking around with all that stuff. And we're so burdened down that our head is down. And it has been a long time since the Lord has been high and lifted up. And the only way we would be able to see Him is if we were able to let that burden take us down to our knees so that once we got here, we'd be able to support ourselves enough to look up. And instead of praying with our head bowed, our arms should be up this way and say, Lord, I sure would like to hear from You again. It's funny how often the voices we hear we think are the Lord, but they're really our own voices. Well, let me hurry. Look back to 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm almost done. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to move on to the next point. Has your guilt ever been strong enough to make you sorry for what you did? And if so, what did you do about it? Guilt's a good thing if you act on it. It is hugely detrimental to you psychologically and physiologically, if not. Why are you telling me to unload the burdens? Two reasons and I'm done for tonight. Number one, look at 1 Peter in the context of the passage. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7. Do you see it? Casting all your cares. He cares for you. You see that? Now watch. Look at verse 8. Oh, wait a minute. Surely when the Lord wrote that, He wasn't saying the reason I need you to get rid of these burdens is because somewhere along the line the devil's going to jump on you. And surely He wasn't saying the devil will be harder for you to wrestle when he jumps on you. If you got all this other junk on your back, all these other burdens you got, he's going to grab you and pull you over backwards, and then you're going to be flailing around like a sprayed roach on the floor with your legs up in the air, and you're going to be wiggling around because he says in that passage, not only is the devil coming, but then you go another couple of verses and he said, then after that you have been... Look at it. Do you see it? What's coming? Suffer for a what?
While.
A while. Keep reading it.
Make you perfect.
Make you perfect.
Establish.
Strengthen.
And settle you.
Okay, but so what comes before establish, strengthen, settle, suffering?
A while.
A while. It couldn't be that maybe the Lord, when He penned the Bible, is saying to you, the reason you need to get rid of those unnecessary burdens that you are bearing is because the devil is going to jump on you and suffering is going to come to you if the Bible is right about that, and you're going to suffer a while. And if you got burdens while you're suffering, the suffering is going to be much more difficult to bear. And therefore, Christians faint under suffering. Because they're still carrying burdens, the Lord said, cast your cares upon me. Because I care for you. We need to have an old-fashioned day where you come up here and hold one of them bricks and says, Lord, I've been carrying this for too long, and I've been carrying this for too long, and I've been carrying this for too long, and get enough distance between that so that you don't go back and pick it up and put it in your back pocket and carry it back with you.
Amen.
I mean, let Him forgive you. And be willing to forgive others.
Amen.
And be willing to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
Come to John 21 and I'm through. I'm going to ask you a personal question now. It's intended to help you to look inwardly. It is not intended to expose you outwardly. Have you ever, don't raise your hand now, denied or deserted the Lord at any time since you've been saved? I know some people that were very, very close to the Lord, right? I mean, they were like literally sitting with Him at the table. You don't really get any closer. I mean, eating with people is close fellowship. You don't really eat with people you don't like. I mean, unless you're at a buffet or something and they put you with some people you don't know. But for the most part. Or you're on a cattle car airplane and they're, you know, giving you peanuts. I guess you could say I'm eating with the other elephants. But at any rate, these people were in close fellowship. One of them was so close, he's leaning on the bosom, the breast of Jesus. You know the story as well as I do, or better, probably. Within a short period of time, you know what happens? Peter says, I'm not going to deny you. They said, oh yeah, we're not going to deny you either. And then before long, they all wind up deserting Him. And Peter denies Him. And can I just tell you, that's a big burden to bear. The guilt associated with that alone is a huge burden to bear, especially if you're a preacher, a pastor, a missionary, a Bible school student. Well, I started and stopped school. I started and stopped. Yeah, but you keep starting after you stop. Keep starting. Sooner or later, you'll get finished. The devil's like, you're no good. You started and stopped 10 times. Them girls do better than you do. But them girls are not bearing what you're bearing at the time you're trying to do it. For you, it's a different deal. Stay with me. I promise you, I'll be done here in a second. Those apostles had been traveling with Him for 3.5 years. They were close. They knew the ins and outs of each other. And when push came to shove, they all ran like little girls. And the big, bold, brash Peter, the He-Man of the bunch, the water walker, he denied Him 3 times. That's a big burden to bury. That's, oh man, I can't believe I did that. You know what you better learn to do? Especially if you're a Christian.
Mom, preacher,
pastor. But especially as a Christian, you know what you better learn to do? You better learn to take even that burden to the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
You say, why? If they turn, remember? I got to start heading in the right direction. I'm heading the wrong way. I'm heading in the wrong direction. Why? Because I don't want to turn around. Because if I do, I have to admit that I need some help carrying this burden. And you know what we have to do is say, Lord, could you forgive me? Are you caught up with me now? Peter says in John 21, just follow along with me if you will. And if I mess up, just throw a flag. Is this making any sense at all?
Amen.
It's the first night of the meeting. Why you got to be so heavy? Well, I have a couple of messages that might make you laugh and shout, but they won't help you as much as this if you'll apply. Because what this will do is if you'll get these things fixed, guess what will happen? He'll speak to you this week. You heard that on Sunday night. What's God going to say to you this week? Because, listen to me, you all want the kids to go to youth camp and you want them to hear from God, but you want to come to church and you don't want to turn off everything else and you hear from God. Can I say with all due respect, some of your kids would like for you to hear from God this week. You'd be like, oh God, talk to mom and daddy. You with me in John 21? Peter says, I'm going fishing. Right? This is profound. It's really shallow. They said, we go too. Peter's out there fishing all night, catches nothing. But I want you to notice something about Peter. He's now gone back to where he started. When the Lord first found him, he fished all night and caught nothing. Now he's fished all night and he caught nothing. What a spiritual giant. Really making headway. Attaboy, Peter! Have you gone anywhere? No, I'm back dragging the same net I've dragged many times before. And you know what you find out? Here comes the net with 153 fishes. Am I right? And Peter's already swam up on the beach. And the Lord says, help him, Peter. And Peter grabs the net and goes, oh, man. He told me I was supposed to quit this. But I didn't listen. He told me I was supposed to not take script for my journey, to depend on Him, that He would supply my needs. But I didn't listen. He told me I would deny Him. But I didn't listen. He told me I would desert Him. But I didn't listen. And I never knew that if I continued to not listen, I would be right back where I started, dragging the same net that I used to drag. And now all of a sudden we understand, the Bible says in Timothy where he says, the devil is able to take you captive at his will. Because you won't refuse to listen to what he says. Now watch. Now all of a sudden, if Peter was in debt, he'd have the fishes to be able to pay his bills. You say, oh, okay, well, glory to God. Yeah, but it's a lot more than that. Some of you are right where you started and you keep going back there because you're refusing to listen to Him. And it's been a long time since He talked to you. It's been a long time since He really dealt with you. Because here's what you've done when it comes to God. You've decided what subjects you will let Him teach you. Your courses are now all electives. You go to God's school, but the professor ain't going to tell you to take rightly dividing in your first year, first semester. No school does that. Okay. Get out. So you know what we do? Fine, I ain't going to that church. I'm going to this church. I'm going to this church. I'm going to this church. I'm going to keep going to churches until I find the elective that I want that builds everything around me. And ladies and gentlemen, the older you get and the closer you've been, the more prone you are to think you're already there. Because we forget the first things. You mean you call me a fisherman? I'm dumb as a box of rocks. You work hard for me. You're a little rock, Peter. Yeah, that's me. Little rock. Rock head. Rock and roll. Not that kind of Peter. Rock Peter. I don't want to belabor the point, but I hope you get the point. The problem is for us as Christians, the reason we get stale is not because God's quit talking. Oh, He still talks. Oh, man, does He talk. But He doesn't talk in the whirlwind. Not anymore. That's for kids. They got to have signs and wonders and miracles and flashing screens and fireworks going off and loud noises. He doesn't speak in the fire. He doesn't speak in the earthquake. He speaks in still. You want it so bad to hear you all.
jerk and jerk. And oh, when trouble came and trials came, oh, you embraced it because you knew, shh, he'll be speaking in a minute. Just give him a second. Shh, I've been here before. Listen. There he is. You hear him? Heck no, I don't hear him. What do you mean, do I hear him? You can't hear nobody whispering like that. Why don't he talk like a man? Sorry, I guess you're never going to hear him because he's not going to always speak the way you want him to on the subject that you choose. Humble myself? Why? I've done some things I shouldn't do. I feel bad. I feel guilty. Okay? He said if you'll bring it to Him, He'll take it. Not just for salvation, but for fellowship. Preacher, how come I keep going back like a dog to his vomit? Can I just say maybe, possibly? Has the thought ever crossed your mind that you might be the problem? I know. That just sounds so far-fetched. That tonight you're sitting in church and you're going, I hope all these other people are hearing this idiot. What is he talking about? This is ridiculous. My Lord. Boy, if I was up there preaching, I just don't get it. Some of you have done that so many times I can smell your breath up here. Breathing don't make the butterflies go away. But some of you said, you know what? Has been a while. And you know what? It was my fault that I quit listening. He didn't quit speaking. So Lord, I want You to speak to me. Give me something this week. Preachers, not other people. Sometimes that's a duck. That's how the people around Bartimaeus got away with not dealing with their own self. They made it about Bartimaeus. Oh yeah, he's the one who needs some help. Help that woman with the issue of blood. Help Jairus' daughter. Oh yeah, I don't need no help. I'm good. I got it. You got it all right. And it's about to bury you. Some of you, it is about to crush you like an egg under a giant's heel. And it's affecting you mentally and physically and spiritually.